Good evening. Welcome to J Street's Teletown Hall. We are so excited. There are about 1,000 J Street supporters on the line right now. My name is Corrine Luck, and I am the Vice President for Grassroots and Field here at J Street, and I'll be moderating this evening's call. Will they or won't they? That is the question on all of our minds here at J Street headquarters. Will President Obama, Palestinian President Abbas, and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu do what it takes to keep the recently launched Israeli-Palestinian talks alive and on track to achieving a two-state solution? Tonight, J Street founder and president Jeremy Ben-Ami and former Israeli Knesset member and minister Ofir Paz will be giving us an up-to-the-minute reaction to the efforts to keep the talks on track and offering their expert assessment as to how we at J Street can help push for peace and a two-state solution. At any point on this call, if you would like to ask a question, just press *3 on your phone keypad, and a member of our staff will take your question and put it in line to be answered. Due to limited time, we will, of course, not be able to answer all your questions, but we will do our best. Again, that's *3 to pose a question to Jeremy Ben-Ami and former Israeli Knesset member and minister Ofir Paz. Now, let's jump to the heart of the matter with Jeremy Ben-Ami.
Thanks so much, Corrine, and thank you to all of you out there for making the time to join us this evening. What an exciting evening for us to see over 1,000 people on the line with us. We've come together tonight at what is truly a significant juncture in the effort to bring about an end to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and to achieve a regional comprehensive peace. We have seen in just the last 24 hours the expiration of the partial settlement moratorium on the West Bank. We have seen bulldozers begin to roll, and we have seen settlers begin to celebrate. We've seen the Arab League call for a meeting next Monday with President Abbas to discuss whether to continue to support the talks, and we're watching diplomats scrambling both here and in the region from all sides to find some way to break out of this present impasse. J Street, as the political home of the pro-Israel, pro-peace movement, has for 2.5 years since its launch been pushing for a meaningful, serious effort to negotiate a two-state solution to the conflict that secures Israel's future as the democratic national home of the Jewish people. As all of you know, it is our belief that Israel faces what we see as an existential threat if it fails to end the occupation, to define its borders, and to reach an agreement that creates a Palestinian state living side beside it in peace and security. We have been supportive of the unwavering efforts of the Obama administration to engage the parties diplomatically through the work both of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Special Envoy George Mitchell. And we've made it our mission to offer political support to elected officials and politicians who are ready to stand up publicly to support these efforts and promote the importance of resolving this conflict for the interests of the United States. We have also appreciated that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has embraced the concept of a two-state solution and that his government did take some limited steps to limit settlement growth, to ease movement on the West Bank, and even in recent months to ease movement of goods into Gaza. We have appreciated also the commitment of President Abbas to peace and to a nonviolent resolution of the conflict, and very much value the work of Prime Minister Salam Fayyad to build the institutions of statehood for the Palestinian people. Tonight, all of us, together with these leaders, find ourselves at a fork in the road of history for Israel and for the Middle East. Down one path lies a future of never-ending conflict, of violence, of blood and tears. It is perhaps the path of least resistance, down which the leaders from the region may naturally be drawn by the course of events in the absence of decisive leadership and courage. Down the other path, in the near term, lie tough decisions, unwanted compromises, and painful sacrifices. Down this road, however, also lies the security that can only be achieved by peace and the promise of a better future for two people condemned by history to share their one land. We have reached the moment of decision, in particular for Israel. It is J Street's concern as an organization that is deeply pro-Israel that time is not on Israel's side. Failure to act now to enable these talks to continue in order to end the conflict through negotiations is itself a choice. We believe Israel can and should freeze settlement growth in a manner that is acceptable to the Palestinian leadership and for the time necessary to attempt to reach agreement over the border of the two states. Once there is an agreed-upon border, in the context of a two-state solution, there will no longer be a settlement issue, and Israel can build to its heart's content within the borders of the state. The Palestinians, in return, must make clear that they are willing to stay at the table and to make the tough decisions that will be required from them for this effort to succeed. The resolution of these fundamental issues through diplomacy is the only way that they will realize their just and legitimate dream to have a state of their own. The President of the United States must act too. He must provide the firm, strong leadership that makes it impossible for the sides to take steps that derail the talks at this critical juncture. Last week, J Street launched a major campaign that called on the leaders of all three countries to make history now. Tomorrow morning, our leadership will be meeting here in Washington with representatives of all three governments. We will be presenting the petitions signed by thousands of you and our other supporters, asking them to seize this historic opportunity to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict through a two-state solution. The petition expresses support for keeping the talks alive and urges the leaders to make the hard and urgent choices that leadership demands. It asks them variously to freeze settlement growth, to stay at the table, and give these talks a chance to succeed. I would ask you to join us tonight in sending this message by pressing 1 now. There are moments in life that simply shouldn't be missed. There are times when you don't want to look back and say, if only. If only we had pushed harder. If only we had made our voice of reason heard. If only more of us had gotten together to give our leaders support when necessary and a push when called for. Well, this is one of those times. The fate of the two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict hangs in the balance in the coming months. In these months, I hope you will be as active as possible with us here at J Street as we build our politically powerful voice for ending the conflict and open up as broad a discussion as possible on difficult issues in our communities. Please get involved with your J Street local in your community or on your campus. Visit our website, jstreet.org, to sign up or email us at info@jstreet.org. Attend meetings, make phone calls, recruit your friends. And mark on your calendars now J Street's second national conference from February 26th to March 1st of 2011. Last year, over 1,500 activists gathered, and our voices and our presence shook the national political scene. A new movement was born. This year, we're moving on up to the D.C. Convention Center, and we're planning on a conference with over 2,000 people, making our conference one of the largest national gatherings related to Israel and the Jewish community. Please join us now in action, in your community, and in February in Washington, D.C. Now I will be turning to Ofir Paz, a member of Knesset for the Labor Party from 1996 to 2010. Ofir served as a Minister of Internal Affairs and Minister of Science, Culture, and Sport. He resigned in an act of protest and an act of courage from his ministerial post in 2006 over the inclusion of Yisrael Beiteinu, the party led by Avigdor Lieberman, in the government. He has long argued in favor of a two-state solution as the right thing to do to secure Israel's future as a Jewish and a democratic home. Before I turn to Ofir with the first question, which I'll be asking him to get his initial thoughts, let me remind you that if you have a question tonight, you please should press *3, and you will be connected to one of the people who will take your question and put you in the queue. Again, press 1 to sign our petition and *3 to ask a question. Ofir, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I thought I would start the conversation by asking your perspective on the argument that is being made to us in this country by representatives of the Netanyahu government, primarily the ambassador, Michael Oren, as well as by other advocates of sort of a pro-Israel right or wrong position, that Prime Minister Netanyahu has no choice at this moment, that he has a credibility issue in that he has promised his supporters and promised his party and promised his base that this was a 10-month moratorium and that they would be able to build again on the West Bank after the moratorium expired. They say the ball is in the other court, that he has fulfilled what he promised to do, and that to break that promise would undercut his credibility in being able to deliver on an agreement once one is reached. So my question to you as a political expert, a political insider from within the Israeli system, what do you see as the Prime Minister's options politically and the credibility problem that is being presented to us on his behalf?
Well, first of all, I would say that this argument is very problematic. It reminds me what Secretary Professor Henry Kissinger used to say, that Israel has only that Israel don't have any foreign policy, only domestic one. Because we have to think why at the first place Netanyahu said what he said about the frozen of the building at the settlements. He said it because he wanted to bring the Palestinians back to the negotiation table. He wanted to bring the trust between us and the Palestinians, something that he himself personally lost many, many years ago. But now while the negotiations started already, it's an absurd to start building again. It's just irrational. So if Netanyahu promised it before, and he did promise it, it's a promise that he shouldn't be given, because it's something that you cannot do. And if you're doing that, that means that you prefer Israeli politics upon promoting the peace process. That's the main thing. If our prime minister prefer to stake together with all the right wing in Israel, including the extremists, you have to bear in mind that those that are sitting at the settlements are the extremist ones. And he gave them a promise that he won't continue the moratorium. So he, in spite of everything, in spite of the fact that we have a negotiation right now, that it's a very tangible negotiation, it's in early stages. We have to keep it. We have to develop it. We have to build the trust between us and the Palestinians. And deliberately, he decided to prefer the settlements upon the people that he should negotiate with, and he knows that he has a problem with those people, with Mahmoud Abbas, with the Palestinians. They don't trust him from the first step, and now we created a crisis, a severe crisis, and I'm sure that it won't help the negotiation to go forward, and I think that we are suffering from early stages a kind of negotiation that, unfortunately, can fail because of irresponsibility. I think that the fact that Netanyahu didn't accept the advice of President Obama, the advice of all European leaders that I know, even the advice of Barak from the Labour Party, that proves to me that Netanyahu didn't decide seriously that he really intend to go all the way to the two-state solution, as he promised.
So if that is the case, Ophir, what should the United States do? This is, you know, if you're speaking to a group of probably 1,500 Americans, and it's so deeply in our interest for this conflict to end. What should President Obama do now in order to put a strong finger on the scale of Netanyahu's decision?
Well, the problem is that probably President Obama doesn't have that many options, and the worst thing is everyone understands that, because Unfortunately, President Obama approaching the November elections from a kind of a weak situation. And everyone understands his situation, and everyone understands that he needs the process to continue at least until November. And if I understand it, and you understand it, and everyone that is on the line understands it, Netanyahu understands it as well. So he understands that Obama cannot really pressure him that much, because Obama needs the process as much as Netanyahu needs the process. The main problem is that we didn't focus enough a clear vision. Two-state solution, it's important, but it's not, for what I understand, it's not a clear vision. This is something that most of us can agree upon, and not only the left in Israel, and not only the peace camp in the Jewish world. It's not enough in 2010 to say two-state solution. It's important, but not enough. And we had to have a much better and much clearer vision for this process. And the fact is that we don't have it. That gives the people the feeling that it's not for real, that it's some kind of a game. If you remember, a very famous journalist in Israel by the name Nahum Barnea from Yediot Ahronot said a few months ago that Netanyahu is interested at the process and Abu Mazen is interested at the outcome, at the result, and that's the main thing. There is a gap between what Netanyahu wants and what Netanyahu needs, and the thing that the Palestinians want and need. They need a result. They need to achieve, to accomplish, and to get a Palestinian state. Netanyahu needs a process. A peace process that maybe will lead to some kind of a result, and maybe not. He's not dependent on the result; he's dependent on the process, and that's a major difference between us and the Palestinians.
Okay, well, thank you, Ophir. We are going to turn over now and take a call from one of our supporters who has called in. This is from Jeffrey Stein in California, and Jeffrey has a question about support in Israel for a peace treaty. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Yes, hi. My question had to do with assuming that Netanyahu is able to find a way of getting a peace treaty together, will he have enough support in Israel with the government and the Israeli people to support it and make it real, or does he really have his hands tied?
I think that my answer for that will be Netanyahu has 100% chances for having a full support if he will bring peace to Israel. I think that Netanyahu have the ability, he has the political power, he has the support. He will have undoubtedly the support of most people in the Likud party, his own party, for sure, Kadima, for sure, Labor Party. I don't know what about Israel Beiteinu and the Ehud Alumen Mafdal, but in this case they will be at the minority. I think that Netanyahu, and that's the whole thing, Netanyahu has the political power to bring peace to the state of Israel. He will get the support of the political faction. He will get the support of the people. The question is if he really wants to go all the way and take the necessary steps that maybe are against his own ideology. I don't know. I have to admit that now I am not sure what are the principles and the ideology that Netanyahu stands for, but that's the main question. The question is not if he can. He can. The question is if he won't. That's a big question mark. That's the main thing that we have to ask ourselves, because he can deliver a peace treaty in Israel.
Thanks, Ophir. We have another question, this time from Lee in Albany, who's got a question about Hamas. Lee, go ahead.
I'd like to know how peace can be achieved as long as Hamas exists on the Gaza, and as long as Mahmoud Abbas does nothing about Hamas and his record. Abbas's record, as far as making any commitments, has failed throughout every other negotiation. He's not to be trusted. Who can trust him? And the United States has been giving him millions of dollars to support his corruptions. No. Peace cannot be achieved as long as there's Hamas.
Thank you, Lee. Afil, about Hamas.
Yes. First of all, I think that Mahmoud Abbas presented the right leadership. We cannot argue that. Even Netanyahu and the right wing in Israel said that Mahmoud Abbas and Salam Fayyad, showing that they know how to fight against Palestinian terrorists, they know how to stop them, they know how to lock them, they know how to punish them. We can see a tremendous change in the Palestinian attitude and policy against Palestinian terrorists, and we have to appreciate that. About Hamas, Hamas is a big obstacle for peace, no doubt about that. And the fact that they have a ruling, the fact that they are ruling Gaza Strip is also a major barrier and a great problem to all of us, Israelis and Palestinians. Number one, we have to bear in mind that things that you know, the fact that the Hamas is so so strong and so big is also because we didn't do enough to promote peace in the last years. In other words, what I mean is that things that we will be able to achieve these days, we won't be able to achieve 5 or 10 years from now, because the people that will be, the powers that will be against peace will be bigger and bigger. We have to bear it in mind. We have a mutual interest. All the moderates, Israelis, Americans, Palestinians, Europeans, we have a mutual interest to achieve peace as soon as possible, because this is the main answer, or the right answer to all the extremists. Now, it's not easy. You're right, because peace must be connected to security. And Hamas endanger our security at the south of Israel, no doubt about that. That's something that we will have to see how can we overcome it. It's not that simple, and that's something that we have to tackle in the right way. There's one way to do it, is by having one negotiator from the Palestinian side. We shouldn't get into this to their inner problems or things that they have to do. But there is a possibility that eventually they will be able to create a mutual delegation that will represent the Palestinian people as a whole. It's something that I don't give to that many chances, but it's a possibility. If it won't happen, we will have to deal only with Mahmoud Abbas, but we will have to deal about the whole thing. He will have to take responsibility not only for the West Bank, but also to Gaza Strip, and the world should back him on that. And together, I hope that we will be able to get peace and security from the West Bank and from Gaza Strip altogether.
Okay, thank you, Afil. We have a question here for Jeremy from Robert. Robert, who has a question specifically about the settlements. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, my question was, it seems like one of the many obstacles is that there are many folks in the U.S. who are maybe more right-wing than Netanyahu, in the sense that if Netanyahu were to agree to a real compromise on the settlements now or in the future, in terms of the limitation of the building, in the future in terms of actual withdrawal of the settlements, that there would be a rebellion among some of these, you know, more religious than the rabbi folks in the U.S. So what can we do to kind of make more pressure so that there would be more uniform support for Prime Minister Netanyahu if he does agree to make a real compromise on the settlements?
Well, thanks for that question. You know, just a couple of weeks ago at the Rosh Hashanah interview that Ambassador Oren gave to Jewish press in this country, he made a comment very much along those lines, that there were going to be people who were going to be upset here about some of the things that will need to be compromised if there is really to be a peace deal. You know, one of the sacred cows that we don't often proactively raise is Jerusalem. You know, this isn't just about the settlements. There's going to have to be compromise as well around Jerusalem. And in the heart of the Oslo process, when that was first put on the table, then Prime Minister Rabin and others in his government were frequently at odds with the American Jewish communal leadership, and were at times, I think, in fact, under Prime Minister Olmert, there was an exchange with the Conference of Presidents where they essentially said to him, you don't have the right. The Conference of Presidents here said to the Prime Minister of the State of Israel, you don't have the right to give away part of Jerusalem. So it's a fascinating dynamic, and it is one that is, you know, I think very, very central, and obviously, you know, the reason why we created J Street is because that dynamic is so central to the whole conflict. The fact that the political views in this country of the most vocal parts of our community are often far to the right, not simply of all of us, but to the right of the politics in Israel. So I think it is essential for people to join us in, for instance, at this moment, our expression of support for the leaders to take these steps. That's why we have this petition. Again, anybody who has not signed this petition, urging the Prime Minister, as well as Abbas and Obama, to take these difficult steps now, including further freezing of settlements. Please do press 1 to add your name to that petition. But I think they need to hear from us. You know, and we're going to be meeting with Israeli officials tomorrow. We've been in touch with the embassy. We'll be talking more to the U.S. government. It's very, very important that at all levels, from your community and your elected officials in the states to us here in Washington, that we make this voice heard and make it heard right now. So I think it's a very good question, and I thank you for it.
Great, thank you. We're going to take a question now that can be both for Jeremy and for Ophir, specifically, I think, on the Arab Peace Initiative. This from Jillian in Chicago. Jillian, go ahead.
Thank you. What about the Arab Peace Initiative? Can Obama and the parties use that as a framework for creating an agreement and pursuing a peace agreement?
Should I answer?
Yes, sir. Why don't you take that one over here?
Okay, thank you. I think that the Arab Peace Initiative is a very important thing. Unfortunately, we didn't dealt with it for many years, and it's a shame. I think that we pay a price for that. I'm not sure how relevant it is today, you know, the paper itself, but the atmosphere and the thing that it expressed, it's very important, and it's very relevant to this very moment. I think that President Obama would like to get other Arab leaders to support the peace talks between us and the Palestinians. You could see there that they've been to Sharm el-Sheikh with President Mubarak, the President of Egypt, and King Abdullah from Jordan, and other leaders from the Arab League. Of course, it's in the air. That's something that backing the whole thing. And I can tell you, as an Israeli, that for us Israelis to have a peace not only with the Palestinians but with the whole Arab world it's something that I would say very attractive. And I'm sure that if it can be reachable, we will do that. You know, the main problem at the paper that they had is the fact that they wanted to keep the law of return for the Palestinians inside the state of Israel, and this is something that we think this is something that we cannot accept, because then we won't have a Jewish state in Israel, and we wanted the Palestinian refugees to get back to the Palestinian state that hopefully we will have as soon as possible. So that's something that was an obstacle in that paper. But generally speaking, it's an important paper, and for us to achieve peace with the Arab world as a whole, it's something very attractive.
Thank you, Ophir. So one question that I've received over email a few times from folks that are unable to get on the call is probably one that's interesting to you, which is where is the Israeli left in this conversation, and who are the leading voices of the Israeli left at this time?
Well, that's a good question. A little bit, it might embarrass some of us, but including myself, but we have to face it. The left in Israel is in a very deep crisis for many reasons. One can start with the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin 15 years ago. I think that we never recover from that. Others might say that the failure of the Camp David talks with Barack, Clinton, and Arafat killed the peace movement in Israel, because the outcome was the second Intifada, and the statement of Ehud Barak as the leader of the peace camp in Israel, that there is no Palestinian partner and no Palestinian can deliver peace. And that's something that that was accepted by the majority of Israelis. You should know that. So the left in Israel is in a deep crisis, but I'm sure that it has a role. And as Jeremy said, the role of us in Israel and of you in America is to push and push and push the process forward until it reaches a real result, a two-state solution with all that it means. I think that's our role these days. And even though in Israel, at least, the left is very weak and very small, and the Labor Party joined a right-wing government, and Kadima has some problems representing the left because it's not a real left, and Meretz become a very small party. We should continue and do our work as much as we can, and I believe that at the end of the day we will win because we are right.
Thank you. Okay, well, Ophir, I know we just have one more minute with you, so I just want to have one final question, if that's all right, from Janet in Pennsylvania, and then I know that you have to go. But Janet has an interesting question about sort of thinking about settlement freezes beyond just sort of one big freeze, but thinking about that more selectively. So, Janet, go ahead and ask your question to Ophir.
Well, I was just wondering how much consideration has been given to selective freezes so that there would be building accepted in the areas that would probably become part of the Israeli state anyway, the large settlements, and those settlements that would be needed for the viable Palestinian state would have to go through a freeze, a sort of selective freeze.
Yes. Well, that's all.
One second, Ophir, before, just to clarify, Jeremy will be staying on, but Ophir does have to leave us, but I want to let you know that you can keep pressing star 3 to ask Jeremy a question. Sorry, go ahead, Ophir.
Yes, thank you. I would say that this thought crossed the minds of the the political decision makers, but unfortunately Netanyahu didn't want to go with that because of the pressure that he got from his allies from the extreme right wing. He didn't want to quarrel with any one of them, so he refused to go on that line. And by the way, the Palestinians, I might add, wouldn't go for that as a compromise as well. So they demanded to continue the moratorium, and the settlers demanded to stop the moratorium. And this middle way that you suggested didn't have enough support. That was the problem. The Labour Party, I think that the Labour Party had to give Netanyahu an ultimatum and tell him at least that, or go ahead with the freezing, because that's what we have to do. This is the responsible thing to do at this very crucial moment, or at least go for the compromise that you just suggested, that is reasonable comparing to what's happening now. It's more reasonable. But the Labour Party, unfortunately. Didn't give Netanyahu no ultimatum or nothing that is close to an ultimatum, and the result is that he stopped the freezing whatsoever, and they now can build everywhere at the territories, at the settlements, and it's a shame. It's dangerous. It's not only a shame. I think it's dangerous. It's endangering the state of Israel. It's endangering the process. I hope that we will be able to overcome it, but I doubt it. Anyhow, I want to thank you all, J Street people, Jeremy, Arnie, everyone. Thank you very much, and keep up with the good work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ophir. And please, everyone, do stay on the line. Thank you so much, Ophir. We do have a few more minutes for questions with Jeremy. Just so you all know, we've had over 1,600 people at least on this call tonight. So clearly a lot of interest. A couple of more questions to Jeremy. This one from Bob. Bob has a question specifically challenging us, Jeremy, at J Street, about what more folks can do. So, Bob, go ahead with your question.
Okay, thank you very much. I personally am feeling really embarrassed, personally, as a Jew, about the position of Israel right now. I think this peace process is so important, and I am wondering what we as J Street members and what we can do at this point to get Israel back to the negotiating table and so that the Palestinians will want to sit back at the Palestinian table. I think the fact that we're continuing to build, you know, in these settlements just pulls the rug right out from under the president. What can we do to change that?
Well, thank you, Barb, for that question. And I should tell you that, you know, looking at some of the other questions that we've gotten tonight and looking through our general email box as well while we're sitting here, your sentiment of, outrage and embarrassment and all of that is shared by a lot of the people on this call and by a lot of the people who are supporters of J Street. You know, we are people who care deeply about Israel and about the Jewish people, and we believe that this kind of a decision is potentially one that has negative, truly negative implications for the future of the state as well as for us as a people. So, you know, J Street is a very multifaceted organization, and there are many things that we are trying to do in your communities and that you can help us with, and all of you on the call. Certainly signing petitions is only one way, and it's the easiest. It's usually one click of the button. A second thing I can recommend is calling. I think there's a range of people that need to hear from Jewish Americans and from other Americans at this point who support the peace process and want to see greater engagement. Call your member of Congress. Call your senator. Register your support for aggressive, active, sustained leadership from the United States in this process. Register your support for J Street with these offices. You know, we as a movement come under a lot of pressure and attack for all of what we do and what we stand for. It's important for your members of Congress to get the calls that say, I support a two-state solution, I support diplomacy, and I support J Street. Call the White House. Call the embassy. the Israeli embassy to register your viewpoint. Get engaged in your local community. Make sure that the Jewish institutions in your community know of your views, the federations, the JCRCs, your synagogue. This voice in the community is too often kept out of the discussion in communal settings, and it is important for them to know that there are so many of us out here who feel this way, and our voices need to be heard. And there are options also for letters to the editor, for other written ways to do this. So make your voice heard in your community is my best recommendation.
And I would say, as the national field director here, the vice president for grassroots programs at J Street, you can find your local J Street organization where we can really support you in doing that work by going to the website, going to jstreet.org, and looking at the Your Community section and seeing if there is a J Street local in your area. If there isn't, we would love to help you start one, and we really do provide the framework and the training and the support to be working in your congressional districts and in your communities to do some serious on-the-ground organizing. So we'll make that extra push, and hopefully all of you will continue to get involved with J Street. We have time, I think, for one final question, which I think is an interesting one, Jeremy, from David. David calling us, who has a question on how do we make sure that Abbas and the Palestinians aren't blamed for what's happening. So, David, why don't you ask that question in more detail for Jeremy?
Yes, before the negotiations started, many were worried that Abbas would be pressured into joining the negotiations, after which point he would then get the blame for the negotiations failing, and at the same time President Obama would be revealed for a week. And it looks like that trap has begun to close, and it seems to me very important in the next week that we both here in the U.S. and in Israel make sure that that narrative doesn't become the dominant narrative, that Bibi unfortunately could not completely abandon his right-wing supporters. Oren has already laid the framework for that line of storytelling, and I'm afraid that we don't have a counter-narrative beyond even-handedness, and it's not even-handedness. I think we have to find some way to make explicitly clear that the man can't be interested in a peace agreement if he's not willing at this point to do what Ophir told us before, to even start by telling his own people that some things are going to have to go. So I'm concerned about how we begin to construct another story from the one that I can already see emerging.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wrote an op-ed last week saying it was called Fork in the Road, and that's the metaphor I keep using. You know, we have reached that fork in the road. It is decision time for the leader of the state of Israel, for the leader of the homeland of the Jewish people. There is a decision to be made. Do you or do you not want to achieve a lasting and fulfilling peace that will bring peace and security to your people? If you choose not to act, if you choose not to extend the settlement moratorium, if you choose not to do something that assists the president of the Palestinian Authority to come back to the table and continue this, that is an action. Don't mistake that for somebody else's decision. That is a decision. Either take the bold step forward down the road to peace, free settlement growth, and lead us as a people and lead that country towards a two-state solution, or you have made the other choice. This is not something that is happening to you. It is an active choice. And we need to get that narrative out. I believe it is absolutely essential that be clear in our community, that this did not happen at somebody else's decision. It is within our hands as a people and him as the prime minister to take us down that road.
So I'm afraid we are reaching the end of our time here for this teleconference. And it has been really wonderful. This is the first of such events that we've done here, and we will likely do more in the future. A reminder of a few things. 1. To add your name to our petition, please do hit 1, and you will automatically get added to that. If your question wasn't answered, but you would like to send it along to J Street, you can do so by emailing us at info@jstreet.org. That's info@jstreet.org. And you can also check out our website. Please do get involved locally. Please do come to our conference, and we look forward to getting engaged with you on the ground in our communities and being in touch with you all soon. So thank you, everyone, and have a good night.